Mercy and peace to you from the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. So in our lessons for today, there's a very clear theme that comes out as God talks about us being his prized treasure. You know, I thought about this a lot in the last couple of weeks as I was preparing for the sermon, and you know, used to, I guess in the olden days, if you had asked me if I had a treasure, I'd probably say things like, well, maybe my house, you know, maybe my car, I don't know, food, chocolate, beer. I mean, I am Lutheran, right? So we have to add that one to the list. But it's amazing how perspective changes as life changes. It's amazing how perspective changes as we go through life and death and illness and sickness and trials and tribulations and praise and joys and thanksgivings. It's amazing how we change as we get older. And we begin seeing things differently. And our treasures begin to change. It's amazing when you stop to think about it that in all the universe, God created this massive, expansive, beautiful universe out of everything that exists, that he chooses poor, sinful, miserable, rotten people to be his prized possession, his treasures. In fact, St. Paul goes on to say, after the Old Testament lesson for today, that not only are we his prized possessions and his treasure, but indeed he has given us his entire kingdom. His entire kingdom, the whole universe, everything that is God's belongs to you and for me. Every possession in the universe is already given to us, including eternal life. It all is ours abundantly. Two things come to mind when I think of that. Very often we don't live like kingdom people, claiming those gifts that God has already given us. Instead, we go about our days and we turn our backs on God. We fall into sin. Or we live the woe is me life. Nothing will help me. When God has already said, everything belongs to you. The other thing I think about is the very fact and how we live in our world in today. If you look at our culture and society, especially in the Western culture and society, which is very individualistic and holds up the individual above everyone else, we really lost the idea of what God's possessions and treasures are. We don't treasure other people with our hearts. Instead, we stomp down people. We put people down. We treat people like they're just trash to the wayside to make sure that our lives are good and we get to where we need to be. It's very evident in our country today, but that's the pervasive thought in our culture and society, which totally goes against what God says. And we wonder why people struggle with their self-esteem and their identity and depression and all of these things. Because living in a world today that tells you you're nothing, that you're supposed to be put down, really doesn't do the mind, the heart, and the soul, and body very well. But as we live as God's people, realizing the importance of what it means to be his prized possession and his treasures in these last days, as we celebrate the overflowing love of God that he's already given to us, that he continues to give us for all eternity, and if we recognize the gift of eternal life and the kingdom that is already ours, it is our possession right now, we realize how wonderful and grand life really is here and for eternity. So the theme that we have today of this prized treasure of God is really not a new theme in Scripture. And in fact, this is kind of what the last Sunday traditionally focuses on, what God calls a remnant. And so let's look at what a definition is of a remnant. This comes from the Old Testament and is seen woven throughout the entirety of Scripture. So the dictionary says a remnant is usually a small part, a member, or a trace remaining, a small surviving group, often used in the plural, an unsold or unused end of a piece of goods. So any of you that sew, you think about a remnant of fabric, right? We hear that a lot. This idea comes to us from the Old Testament. And the idea is this, in that Old Testament cycle we've talked about before, you know, where everybody's good with God, and then they start falling down this cycle, and before long they're sinning, and they're turning their back on God, and they're making golden cows and eating them, and then they fall down to the bottom, and they're in exile, and they're still with God, they just don't know it, they can't see it, they're in exile, and then they come to a place once one of their prophets arises, or something else happens, and they repent, and they sit in sackcloth and ashes, and they get right, and all of a sudden, then they come back to the cycle again, and they have faith. faith, and then they're back at the top again. This is the cycle we see throughout all of Scripture. Really, it's the same cycle we see in our lives today. Every time we sin, we're like this, and then when we repent, we're like this. It's a living cycle of sin that has been there since the beginning. But here's the interesting thing. Whenever God did something, which was exile or even in the flood, destroying the world, and or destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, when the people were down here, he always, always had a remnant chosen. A specific group of people that would be chosen to carry forth his message of salvation and to bring forth the proclamation and the living Jesus Christ into the world. God has never, ever given up on our world. Here's the amazing thing about God. He already knows he's going to be in heaven, but he still doesn't give up on anybody. That is the amazing thing about God. And you think with human logic, well, that doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense. But God's love never makes sense to us because it's so big and so wide and so deep and so huge and so beautiful. We can't begin to ponder or understand it. We look at the cross and we say, that's how God loves people, by killing his son. But that's what he did, and raises him up from the dead so that we can go into heaven to be with him for eternity, and gives us his entire kingdom so that we might share it and live in it and rejoice in it. So God preserves this remnant, and it's a crucial piece of our lesson. In fact, in our lesson for today, God shows us just how valuable a remnant can be. Did you notice what the soldiers did? They took Jesus' clothes, and what do? They cast lots for them. They tore them apart so each of them could have a souvenir of the crucifixion, a remnant, a piece of what happened to Jesus. Do you see how important remnants are? I mean, the Catholic Church claims to have all these remnants and relics that were from long ago, and they charge people tons of money to come and see them. That's a good idea. Maybe that's going to be a fundraiser, our next fundraiser. But anyways, they do. Remnants are important. Remnants are important. We have them in our lives, right? Remnants of our past. We call them memories. Good ones, sometimes bad ones. But we have them. They're part of our lives. We are God's remnant in these last days. This is crucial for the church to understand, because the church is dying today in our world. Christianity is dying because God's people fail to recognize their value and importance in our world today as remnants chosen by God. We are chosen because he loves us. He loves us. That's obvious in the fact that he says we're his prized treasures, in the fact that he gives us his kingdom. We know that he loves us when we look to the cross and we're reminded every time of what God did not spare for us, but what he gave up for us so that we could be his and that we can enjoy his love and forgiveness all the days of our lives, even into eternity. Every time we celebrate Easter, which is every Sunday, we celebrate the fact that God loves us and has risen from the dead so that we could live eternally with him in heaven, where he's even now preparing your mansion for you. That's how much he loves you. Every time we celebrate baptism, every time we eat and drink of the supper of this table and the Lord's Supper and Holy Communion, we are not only reminded of God's love, but it's poured out into our lives. As we hear the word of God, Jesus is alive and active in us, living with his promises that we are forgiven and that we are saved, and his love is poured out upon us, and he tells us how much we mean to us. He has chosen us because we are his treasures, worth more than anything in the world, bought with, not with gold or silver, as Luther says, but with Jesus' precious, innocent, and holy blood, redeemed from sin, death, and the devil, restored to the beginning of a new creation, so that we might live now and eternally with him. That's how much we mean to God. Chosen not so that we can sit back on our laurels in church and in our lives, but chosen to be to rest in the knowledge of our salvation, and to proclaim our salvation to the ends of the earth. God didn't choose us so that we could sit back in our pews and be comfortable, folks. I'm going to take a nap now. He didn't choose us for this. No. He wants us to worship him, yes. That's crucial and important. But he chose us to be his beautiful presence in our lives as his remnant, every moment of every day. He chose us to carry his unending, unconditional love to a world that is dying and going to hell. He chose us to carry his eternal life to a world that is lying on the roadside half dead, as in the story of the Good Samaritan, to bear a love that transcends all human judgment, burdens, cares, worries, and doubts, so that people may know that God's love has come, and that they too, each and every one of them, white and black, gay or straight, no matter who they are loved by a God who says in John 16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only Son." We are God's remnant, just like in the Old Testament, as God kept his remnant to restore and keep the kingdom alive. This is why God, and St. Paul reminds us today, has given us his kingdom. We are responsible for it. We are to take care of this kingdom as God's prized treasure in the world that we live in by growing the kingdom. By taking the kingdom and using the power of the kingdom, the name of Jesus Christ, so that the world around us will change one heart and life at a time by the powerful transmission of the love of Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit. This is why God has given us his kingdom. It does not belong to us in this world so that we may have a little sign to hold up and say, "I'm going to heaven." On the other side, it does. But he's given us his kingdom because it's living and active in and through you. By getting to know your neighbors, by loving those who are unlovable, by sharing his grace with those we disagree with. Oh, how true is that in this political climate we live in today? That means Democrats have to love Republicans and Republicans have to love Democrats. Sorry, that's just the way it goes. By sharing the unending love of God, we are his visible kingdom in the world around us. In the name of Jesus, amen.